Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got it.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Welcome back. I know some of you were disappointed we didn't drop an episode yesterday, but I can promise you with a large amount of confidence, Matt, that what we've got lined up for the rest of the week here at Locked On Bulls is going to make our listeners very excited. We'll make up for not having an episode on Tuesday, but what's going on, Matt? How are you? How you doing? Are you able to take a breath now that we don't really have NBA basketball as a whole right now, or are you still like, are the juices still flowing because of all the rumors going on right now?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Honestly, man, I'm kind of jonesing. I kind of wish we still had playoff basketball to watch. Don't get me wrong. The NFL has been entertaining and, you know, knock on wood, they seem to be navigating their COVID protocols somewhat decently, at least effectively enough that we're still chugging along as we approach week 7 of the NFL season. And, you know, we got the World Series going on as well. But I miss basketball, man. And honestly, that little Bulls scrimmage video that we were treated to that you and I talked about was fine, but really just left me wanting more and wanting some real basketball and wanting Bulls basketball. It's been since March and we still have until probably January at the earliest. I'm not going to lie, man. It's been tough recently.
I was thinking about it too, is like, we had the golden opportunity, and it was awesome to be able to turn on the TV mid-afternoon and seeing a NBA game being played or multiple games being stacked up and being played at the same time. It's the excitement that we had from Summer League for so many years when there was nothing really going on. It was the heart of baseball season, but we at least got the little nugget of having somewhat real games in the Summer League and being able to watch young guys. But this was like a unique opportunity to say, holy shit, this is the best teams going at it on a nightly basis, or what felt like a nightly basis. I'm with you though. I'm kind of missing the action and the weird times too, like having a game on at 4 p.m. or having a game on at 1 p.m. was awesome. It was awesome to have basketball on every single day. But hey, man, before we know it, we're going to be up on the NBA draft. We're going to be up on free agency. And again, I think the Bulls are going to be involved in a lot of these conversations going forward. So it should be an exciting and fun offseason. It feels like the Bulls have been in an offseason forever. But I'm very, very excited. They really have, man. It's crazy. Let's get to our text and voicemail line, though. 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. 331-979-1369. Let's get to our first voicemail that we have. This comes from the 630.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kevin from New York. It's been some time since I called in, so I hope you guys are doing well and staying safe during these times. But I just wanted to kind of bring things internally a little bit regarding the team. I'm just finishing up the most recent mailbag, so I'm a couple episodes behind. But, a lot of talks about, like, trades and maybe in the future getting a superstar and stuff. And, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit in my own bubble here with my admiration for this team. But I still think that we have the potential to have a superstar already in Zach LaVine. I just still think that. And, like, maybe I'm being a little naive, and so I'm truly open to what your guys' thoughts are. But I also want to ask you, like, let's just say let's not talk about trading or anything. Let's just talk about just the team. Who do you think is going to emerge as the true leader of this group. I think it's Zach. I think he's already demonstrated that. But people have talked about Wendell in the past. I still think he's too young. You know, I'm just curious because I don't know. I have a lot of faith in the team that we have, and I'm interested to see what Billy Donovan does. So anyway, appreciate your guys' work, and again, stay safe.
Thanks for checking in, Kevin. This is a good question, Matt. I think it's something that we've sort of battled over the last several months of talking about LaVine and where the team goes. And now with all the excitement around this team and Billy Donovan being here to be able to mold a brand new young core, is there a sense of you that feels like Zach LaVine can still work out here? I know people talk about him being in his seventh season with his six different head coach. He's going to be 26 at the time the middle of the season rolls around. All of that factoring in, I'm still with Kevin. Like, I'm firmly on board that I still believe in Zach LaVine, and he'd be a great piece to have here in the long term. What is your feelings, Ben, about LaVine?
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, it kind of makes me think of two points that I feel I've articulated on this podcast before that I'll just, you know, quickly remind everybody of when it comes to Zach LaVine and the Bulls and their future together. One of them is it depends on how you define superstar to make the decision on whether or not you think Zach LaVine has superstar potential. As you mentioned, he's 25. He'll be 26 in March, so early part of next season. So there's still room for improvement there. I believe at age 25, you can still get better. And we saw Zach LaVine get better this past season. There were certain games and certain stretches where he was dominant offensively. Other team could not stop him. And you can expect that could continue to trend in that direction. But to me, superstar is like the top 10 players in the league. That's what I would define as a superstar. All NBA first team and all NBA second team. That's superstars, in my opinion. And maybe not even that. I would say, you know, I would say there are closer to 5 superstars in the league than there are to 10. So that being the case, I do not think Zach fits that criteria. And then the other point being that even if Zach is not the superstar to lead the Bulls to championship contention, that doesn't mean he's not a piece worth keeping and building with. Especially over the next 2 years when he is on that incredibly team-friendly contract, a guy who can give you 25, 5, and 5 while making less than $20 million a year. So I don't necessarily think that Nick is wildly off base to say, hey, I think we have something here with Zach, so why is everybody so focused on trading for a superstar? But at the same time, I would go as far up until I would disagree with him to say superstar to me is a different field. And as good as I think Zach is now, and the fact that I think he can still get better, I think it stops before that point for me.
Like I told you last season, if the Bulls would have been 500 or better at the All-Star break, Zach LaVine makes the All-Star team. And so having the conversation about whether or not Zach LaVine is an All-Star, I think is a lot different than having the conversation about, like you were talking about, him being a superstar. I 100% agree with you. But at the same time, like, just because we say Zach LaVine might not be a superstar, one of the top 10 or 15 players in this league, doesn't mean that he's not a valuable or an important piece to what the Bulls are trying to build. I still firmly believe, and again, it's going to come back to, like, AK and Mark Eversley have a lot of decisions to make. Maybe not right now, maybe not right this offseason, but in the next 2 years, they have a lot of decisions to make about this roster. You've got Lauri Markkanen coming up for an extension talk. You've got Wendell Carter Jr. in the next 18 months being up for extension talks already. And then you've got Zach LaVine, too. He's only got 2 years left on his deal at a great $19.5 million a year. He's going to want a lot more than that if he continues to play the way he has the last couple of seasons. So all of that combined together, I think, again, adds another layer to where is AK and Mark Eversley going with this rebuild? How do they see this shaping up and where does this form? I think the real question, Matt, is it possible for the Bulls to retain Zach LaVine long term, not completely blow up their young core, but also add one of these superstars we're talking about that could potentially come in free agency over the next 2 years, talking about a top 10, 15, 20 player that you could pair and complement next to Zach LaVine. Is that a realistic possibility for this Bulls team or not? I think that's the first question you need to answer before talking about anything as far as Zach LaVine's future goes.
I mean, do I think it's possible? Yes. There are so many unknowns and unanswerables right now because the Bulls are in the midst of a huge makeover and a lot of organizational change. So we won't really know what exactly this new regime is capable of when it comes to making those changes and acquiring that kind of talent until we see it all unfold. So that's my answer to that. And then the answer to the second part of our caller's question, as far as the leader of this team, he mentioned Wendell. And I was going to mention Wendell before, as I was hearing his question before he brought him up, because even in his first 2 years as a very young player in this league, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, we saw plenty of examples of Wendell speaking up in the locker room, voicing his opinion, taking the responsibility himself, but also pointing out things that were wrong that, you know, fans and media could see were wrong. And Zach is certainly the face of the franchise right now. There's no debating that. But I think under some new leadership of Billy Donovan and hopefully developing his game, Wendell could very possibly turn into the leader of this team in the near future.
I would agree with that, too. And I think to an extent, if Otto Porter Jr. stays long term here in Chicago, I remember a lot of players talking about his influence and his ability to have other experiences guys haven't had before. And being in the league longer, I know he's around the same age, but he's been in the league longer than most of the guys on this Bulls roster right now. So tapping into him and figuring out how he can transform himself as a leader. Also, too, maybe short-term leaders, guys that can maybe mentor a guy that looking to be the future leader of this team. I think I bring it back to Thaddeus Young, too. That was part of the reason why the Bulls signed him, right? Was to bring in some veteran leadership, some mentorship, and help put some chemistry together with these guys. So I think regardless of how long Thaddeus Young stays here too, I think it's very, very important for guys to get things out of him too, as far as leadership, mentoring, all of that. And I think that's certainly possible, but it's hard for me to pick out a guy that could truly be a leader on this team. If I had to go with one, it'd probably be Zach, just because he's the best player on this team so far.
And speaking of those veteran leadership mentor type roles, we've got another idea from one of our texters in our inbox that we will get to in just a second. First, though, wanted to tell our listeners about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless, seemingly intimidating questioning, like is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? I don't know. And wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You've got a computer with access to rockauto.com. At home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Today's episode is also sponsored by Built Go. Our friends at Built Bar have come up with an amazing product in Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall breakthrough with Go every day, easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. It's almost like a yogurt on the go. Go-gurts, if you're somebody who's my age, you remember going to lunch every day and people pulling out Go-gurts, whether you stick them in the freezer or you eat them straight out of the refrigerator. These are exactly like that. It's like having a liquid version of a Built Bar, and it is fantastic. You can stick this in your golf bag to power you through the back nine or put it in your pocket to get you through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's three delicious flavors, too: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Go to builtgo.com and use the promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's use promo code Locked for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, Jordan, let's get into our text messages now. And the first one is an interesting idea when it comes to needing those veteran role models and mentors on your team. The 312 asks us, should the Bulls be interested in Rajon Rondo, a vet that can still play make for our young players and someone who maybe Kobe can learn from? So just a little context here, Jordan, for our listeners. Rondo expecting to decline his player option of his second year of his two-year deal with the Lakers, declining a $2.6 million salary for the 2021 season. And people are speculating, is he trying to hit the free agent market and maybe earn a little bit more based on how vital he proved to be for that Lakers championship run? And what are your thoughts on potentially bringing back one of the three alphas to be that veteran mentor for this young team?
Do you think we could get him on a mid-level exception? Like, if the Bulls decided not to do anything other than maybe say, hey, here's your walking papers, Chris Dunn, hopefully you sign with a different team, maybe we retain Denzel Valentine. But like, that's the other thing. Like, if you don't do anything, the Bulls still have a problem in terms of roster space. Like, if you're going to keep your first and second round pick, add those to the roster, you say, okay, we're going to bring Valentine back for a year, Chris Dunn's out, you still don't have any roster space to add one more guy. But
no,
if that's
even
possible,
even without the first and second round picks they have upcoming next month, they're already at 12 committed roster spots, or 13 actually.
13. And so if you let Chris Dunn walk, that's 12. And then you sign your first, yeah, I guess you would have one roster spot available. Yeah, that's going to be tough. So if the Bulls do plan to add somebody in free agency, and look, I would love to have Rajon Rondo back here, but is he willing to go to it? I guess he just won a chip. So maybe he's just looking to go and continue helping teams along, sort of the way Chris Paul has. But Chris Paul's been getting a lot more playing time than Rondo would. He had a great departure here in Chicago. His time didn't start well here. And Matt, I'll be the first person to admit that I trashed Rondo before actually knowing who Rondo was as far as a player, what he could do for your team. And he ended up being somebody at that end of the crazy three alphas. I was like, if the Bulls are going to run this back at all, I would love him to come back. And so did the old front office. They loved him too. So having him part of the mid-level exception, I guess if you don't need to spend it on a wing or can't, there's nobody out there that you like, it'd be a good option. I mean, makes sense, especially if you're trying to build up a guy like Kobe White to be your future point guard, right?
Yeah, and I think the key question is something you brought up at the beginning, which is, would Rondo be willing to sign for the equivalent of the mid-level exception? Because that's basically all the Bulls have at their disposal. They've got the mid-level. I think they also do have biannual, which is even less than the mid-level when it comes to dollars that they can offer players this offseason. So, I mean, Rondo is clearly worth more than the $2.6 million that he's due to earn for the Lakers this coming season. Even at age 34, going on 35, he just proved to be a vital piece of a championship team. And I think he knows that even in what is probably going to be an underwhelming, you know, free agent offseason as far as money thrown around, he can get more than that on the open market. Now, can he get something north of what the Bulls' mid-level exception would offer him, which I believe is somewhere around between like $7.5 and $9 million, I believe. Can he make more than that on the open market? Maybe not much more. But then the other part of that question is, would he be interested in a role like that? Does he want to try and find another spot to contend for a championship in these final, you know, last few seasons of his career, likely, you know, as I said, 34 going on 35. I don't know what Rondo's looking to do right now. Maybe he's happy that he got that second championship of his career and he would be okay with a mentorship role somewhere and not contending for a championship again. Maybe he wants to try and find another ring, be it with the Lakers on a renegotiated contract or elsewhere. The Bulls would have a tough pitch to make there on that front.
While we're on the Rondo talk real quick, I was trying to figure this out last night, Matt, but say the Bulls don't do anything really. Like, we've got the roster stand pat as the way it looks right now. What are the Bulls running with? Like, what is their starting five and what does their second unit look like as far as the guard situation goes? Is Billy Donovan going to run out a lineup where it's Satoransky, White, and LaVine in your backcourt, a little bit smaller backcourt, and then your frontcourt being Markin and Carter? Then you've got Otto Porter. So if you do that lineup, I'm like, well, where does Otto Porter fit into this? Is Satoransky going to come off the bench? Are you going to let Kobe White start the season coming off the bench? How do they shape that in? I guess my question would be is, like, where does Rondo fit in, or another guard like Rondo, where does that fit in what the Bulls are doing with their first or second unit? I can't find a way in which a point guard, adding another point guard to this team really makes a whole ton of sense. I don't know. Maybe you can talk me out of that.
Well, Jordan, I think it's a very good question, and it actually leads perfectly into another text that we have talking about rotation and guards on this team. And that comes to us from the 808, who said, "Hey guys, I wanted to see what you think about this situation. Let's say the following decisions are made. Dunn, Valentine, and Shaq Harrison are all gone. None of them are brought back on qualifying offers. The Bulls get LaMelo Ball or Killian Hayes in the draft. The remaining roster remains intact. So, based on the 2020 season, the starting lineup could probably be Kobe, Zach, Porter Jr., Markkanen, and Wendell. If that's the case," our texter asks, "do you guys see this starting five as a problem due to the lack of playmakers, which is one of the Bulls' greatest needs, a point guard who can actually run the offense? Three out of the five starters, Kobe, Zach, and Lowry, need the ball in their hands to be productive. With this in mind, how would you feel if Kobe came off the bench as their sixth man and be a shooting guard instead and insert either Ball or Hayes or even Saransky in that starting spot for a more balanced offense and avoid a logjam at point guard?" So, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about right now, Jordan. Interesting that our texter is, you know, posing a hypothetical of either starting one of the rookie point guards we might draft in Ball or Hayes, or a veteran like Sato, which is how the Bulls started off this season, and that didn't work, didn't work super well. Sato had a tough year. And then, of course, the fan base became enamored with Kobe White. And now I would say most of the fan base is anticipating that Kobe White is going to be your starter alongside Zach LaVine in the backcourt, although we haven't really heard Billy Donovan speak directly to that. What are your thoughts on this scenario as it plays out if the Bulls draft a point guard and keeping Kobe in a reserve spot on the bench?
I think you get the pitchforks out if Kobe's not starting on opening night, right? Like, the Bulls fans are pulling their pitchforks out. This is what they absolutely destroyed Jim Boylan for last year, right? It's like, yeah. Kobe White sitting on the bench. I get the idea. Like, that makes a ton of sense. Is it reality? Probably not. Like, they're going to have a tough conversation with Thomas Satoransky and say, "Dude, like, look, we paid you a lot of money to come here and be our starter last year. I get Jim Boylan was your head coach, but it didn't pan out. It didn't work out. You didn't shoot like the player we thought you were going to. You're inconsistent passing and running our offense." And I don't think there's a world in which you can run a lineup out of Satoransky, White, and LaVine as your backcourt. Like, the defense would just be absolutely destroyed. So you still need Porter for your versatility. But I also think that there's this plan Billy Donovan's going to have of using Porter at a lot of positions, like playing him at a smaller four. They talked about that even in the beginning. Like, Mark Eversley and AK talked that specific point about Otto. So I'm curious what they do with him too. And then again, too, with Thaddeus Young, maybe it's a situation where Thaddeus Young is coming off the bench and playing in that role too, but still playing 22 to 25 to 27 minutes a night. I think you can do something similarly with your backcourt too, but I can't get past the idea of Billy Donovan's first decision in his opening starting five is to leave Kobe White on the bench. That just, I don't know if that would go well with the fan base.
I certainly agree with you in that it would not go over well with the fan base, because Kobe was, along with Zach, the only somewhat shimmering light we had in a very, very dark tunnel last year. And he showed us more and more the more opportunities he got, you know, even winning Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month in February, and deservingly so for the incredible month that he had, and then finally earning his first start in the Bulls' last game of the season before the pandemic shut down the league. Having said that, we do know that Billy Donovan tends to be more of a defensive-minded coach, and he might look at a Kobe White, Zach LaVine pairing in the backcourt as problematic in that regard. Now, you know that I was in favor of starting Sato over Kobe out of the gate last season. I thought it was too much of a burden to put on a young one-and-done rookie to throw him into the starting lineup right away, and that Sato could, while being a competent playmaker and occasionally a competent scorer, put the focus, keep the focus on developing the games of Zach and Lowry and Wendell without pulling that focus himself. So on paper, it made sense to me. And then in Jim Boylan's system, offensively, they struggled. They had a lot of problems, and Sato was very underwhelming. So maybe in that sense, they look to move Sato. But what, you know, and if they decide to move on with from Sato to maybe swap a player or, you know, whatever that may be, that's fine, and that's one thing. To suggest then starting a rookie, an incoming rookie, either Hayes or Ball over Kobe, that is a thing that I think a lot of people would greet with heavy skepticism.
Like, I'm not trying to push this, and I know it sounds like I continue to bring this up, Matt, but all of this conversation about what the Bulls look like on the floor next year leads me back to what the hell are they doing with Markkanen and Carter? Is that your front court? Is that your front court of the future? Is Carter cool with trying to figure out how to play a modern day center? And I think he can be a playmaker for you too, right? Like at Duke, he was able to pass the ball. Like he didn't get any opportunity on the offensive end last year. And I'm not just talking about shooting, but look at the teams AK has put together and how much their system ran through a big man. I think Carter has that skill and opportunity. Look at the team that was just in the finals. A team that, for the most part, ran a lot of their system through Bam. Like, that is a way in which I think the NBA is going towards if you have a big man that's versatile like Carter is. That being said, what is the decision there? Because I think that decision also gives you an answer about what they're going to do with Otto. Or vice versa. What's the decision on Otto? Are you trading him? Is he staying here long term, or is he a wait and see? That can predicate what you're going to do with your front court. But I come up stuck trying to figure out what the starting five looks like until we have really an idea of what they think of Carter and what they think of Markkanen. Because you don't have really defined roles, and like he was like our texter was talking about, who's your playmakers? That if the reality is you're starting White, Levine, Porter, Markkanen, and Carter. Who's your reliable, like, this guy's going to get you 6, 7, 8 assists a night? Like, Kobe can be that guy, but, you know, you can't expect it to be opening night and just to turn it on for the rest of his career. There's going to be some ups and downs still with him. And Zach's proven he can be that guy, but not consistently. And you want Zach scoring the ball more than anything. So, again, I question too, like, who is your main playmaker? Who's going to get the ball to Levine, to Porter, to Markkanen in their spots where they can score? The question's kind of still up in the air, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, our texter is not wrong to point out that as we are evaluating the talent of this incoming draft class, Killian Hayes and LaMelo Ball are both known more for their playmaking and distribution court vision than Coby White. Or even Zach LaVine, for that matter. And addressing the lack of playmaking in our starting five is not wrong. It is very much on the money. But again, how might that translate? And again, this is all on the hypothetical assumption that the Bulls end up with one of the young point guards in this draft class. How do AK and Donovan and their entire crew evaluate what's the best way to get this team to be better than they were last year? And does that involve putting a rookie point guard at the helm of the starting five's offense? Or do they see enough, or will they see enough from not only this mini camp bubble, but actual training camp when that rolls around, enough development between Kobe and Zach that they feel comfortable and confident enough in both of them being able to be better playmakers for their teammates than either of them were this past season? Because I think you could say we even saw some improvements on that front from Kobe. Some, you know, Zach had some good nights and some bad nights when it came to distributing when he wasn't focused on just scoring. So they're both works in progress on that front, and it's certainly something that the front office will have to figure out. All right, Jordan, you want to take another text message?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we've gotten a lot of Ben Simmons talk recently, a lot of Ben Simmons hypotheticals about maybe the Bulls trying to steal him from the Philly if the Philly regime has decided to kind of shake things up, and maybe Simmons and Embiid don't work well together. Although, you know, just for the sake of fun, we should also point out that in reality, I think Simmons and Embiid stay together for at least another season. That's what Elton Brand is telling the media right now in Philly. We're not trading either of these guys. But where there's smoke, there can certainly be fire. So let's, knowing that, take this text message from Nick on the South Side. Hey guys, I'm a pretty new listener to the show. I've got a bunch of moves that definitely won't happen aside from maybe free agent signings, but here it goes. The Bulls trade Wendell, Lowry, Sato, the fourth pick, our first rounder in 2022 and 2024 to the 76ers for Joel Embiid. Why do the Sixers do it? Young players that better fit with Simmons. Then the Bulls trade Otto Felicio and our second rounder this year and our second rounder next year for Chris Paul to give financial relief and draft capital to a rebuilding team. Okay, well, let's focus on Embiid because I think the second part of Nick's idea involving trading Otto Felicio and a second rounder, two second rounders, to OKC for Chris Paul is laughable. I know that getting the financial relief off of Chris Paul's contract is a asset in and of itself, but that is an insulting offer for Chris Paul. Just insulting.
I got fired this year.
That's what Mark Eversley and AK would be saying if they made it. They try to pull a deal off like that. Like that. Oh my God. I full stop right there is like
the two most untradeable pieces on this Bulls roster.
Felicio's not going anywhere. Felicio's not going anywhere unless they come to a buyout and feel that paying him like $4.5 million to go away and save a roster spot, that is more valuable than having him on for whatever games that they play the next season.
And certainly not a trade that would happen before draft night or on draft night.
Not a single NBA team is taking Felicio.
Like, Felicio might become a relevant piece of a hypothetical trade nearing the 2021 season's deadline as just an expiring $8 million contract that a team could find useful for their bookkeeping. That's it. You're not trading Felicio before draft night. You're not trading Felicio before... a week or two before the trade deadline. And Otto, I mean, untradeable. For the record, Casey Johnson, the Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago, just earlier this week released a column ranking the last season's roster of most likely and least likely to stay. Do you know who the two most likely roster people are from last year to this year who will not get traded and who will not leave free agency? Otto and Felicio, they ain't going anywhere.
I'm not sure.
Otto could make more sense at the trade deadline if a team is really looking just to, hey, it's 1 year, like it's what, 30 games plus playoffs. That's what we're looking for, and maybe the Bulls can pick up a late future first rounder. Something like that makes more sense. But yeah, if that's the feeling around the NBA, especially with the cap, having unknown what the cap's going to be next year, in the next couple of years, would they go? I expect it to go down. I don't expect it to be at, what did they say, $125 million was supposed to be the projected 2021 cap. This year it's at $109. So if it stays at $109 or goes down a little bit, no team's going to want to take on Otto's money for a full season and at least give up anything.
With that, Jordan, let's go back to the front end of Nick's idea when it comes to trades, because this, at least I think, is grounded in reality as far as what the Bulls are giving up versus what they're getting. Because there are plenty of trade hypotheticals in our inbox right now that I was just laughing at, saying ain't no way the other team that's not the Bulls is making that trade. But this, at least to me, is somewhere close. If the Sixers did decide to pull the trigger and move on from Embiid and keep Simmons, a package that included Wendell and Lowry, two still young, still on their rookie contract, high upside players, Sato, reliable role player, this year's fourth pick, and two future firsts, I think that's enough to start a conversation for Joel Embiid. What about you?
Yes, but if I'm a Bulls, I'm like...
It's a lot to give up.
For a dude that's hurt all the time. But he's so good when he's on the floor, though. He's so good. But again, it's the same complex the Sixers fans have right now. It's like, who do we keep? Who do we send away? Dealing with Embiid, you love the guy when he's there, but when he doesn't show up or he's hurt, it sucks. It's a huge anchor. So I don't know. That's a lot to give up. You're in the ballpark, though. I think, like, overall framing a deal, whether it be with the Sixers or whoever you're thinking about this offseason for the Bulls, I think that's a good way to frame and think about some of the value and some of the assets that you have on this team. Matt, I was thinking about the Clippers too. You know, just to sidetrack us from the text for a second. I was thinking about the Clippers. Did you see that report about guys like Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley being upset with some of the special treatment Kawhi was getting over the last past season, and now with the fallout of them blowing a 3-1 lead? Do you think there's any possibility the Bulls could pick up the phone and ask the Clippers what's going on there and if they're looking to deal either of those guys? I know Montrezl Harrell's, what, a restricted free agent this offseason, and he's probably going to be looking to get paid, but maybe picking up the phone about Pat Bev?
I'm pretty sure Montrez is just an unrestricted free agent.
Okay, well, he's going to get paid then.
Yeah, he's getting paid. Even though his performance as the Clippers were bowing out was, well, certainly left something to be desired. I still think he's one of the bigger names on the market up this upcoming free agent period. So, and then, you know, as far as Pat Bev and any of the Clippers beef that might be going on, like, yes, I did hear about that. If you're Steve Ballmer, you're clearly going to do what you need to do to keep Kawhi happy. I mean, like, maybe, yes, there are some players that are upset that Kawhi gets special treatment. You know who else gets special treatment? LeBron James. You know who else got special treatment? Michael Jordan. You know who gets special treatment? The best players in the league. Like, hey, Pat Bev, shut up. You're not special. It's like, not to rag on a Chicago guy that I know a lot of Bulls fans love and wanted to see come to this team last offseason, but you're not special. Kawhi Leonard, special. Pat Bev, not special. So if the Clippers have to do something about their roster, and it's, you know, making Kawhi happy, and I also saw something recently where Kawhi, like, told the, you know, Clippers ownership, like, hey, find me a real point guard. Ouch, Pat Bev. But guess what? Pat Bev, not a real point guard. I don't think he helps the Bulls at this point. Do you?
Not unless you're if you're just flip-flopping a guy like, okay, we'd rather take Pat Bev because we're going to start Coby White. Here's Thomas Satoransky for a year. That kind of makes sense. But other than that, yeah, you need a guy like, I do agree though, you need a guy like Pat Bev with the type of attitude he has. Put a little bit of fire, put a little spark into this team. A guy that's going to go out there and kind of be an agitator and be an asshole. And that's what this Bulls team is lacking. Who's that guy on this team, right? We used to have that guy. We used to have multiple of those guys. We don't have that guy anymore. So I think, like, guys like Markieff Morris, thinking about like a Marcus Smart, thinking about like a Jay Crowder, like a Rajon Rondo to some extent, and even like a Patrick Beverley, somebody who's going to go in there, be productive on defense, but also piss guys off. The Bulls need that spark plug. They're missing that, and that, I think, is a key part of any winning team. Like, think about Miami's team this year. They had a couple of those guys. LA's team had a couple of those guys. Even the Lakers had a couple of those guys. JaVale McGee, all he did in the finals was go and bang bodies and try to piss people off. So
yeah, and the other Morris brother, Markieff.
Yes. So you need that guy's going to bang bodies, going to get under people's skin. Bulls don't have that guy. I do agree that they do need somebody like that, though.
They do. I think that it's useful to always have a player like that. But I mean, how dare you? Are you suggesting that is not Ryan Arcidiacono?
No.
Mr. Lead the League in charges taken or charges attempt to take every season?
I don't know who the nicest guy in the NBA is, but he even wouldn't be scared of Ryan Arcidiacono. I give the guy all the credit in the world, but nobody's scared of Ryan. I'm sorry. I think he would say that himself, too.
Yes. Mad respect to Archie for being the player that he is in this league. But no, that is not the same thing as having an actual enforcer on your team, which you need, because you're right. This Bulls team just had absolutely zero toughness last year, and it showed.
Well, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for all of your trade hypotheticals, your questions about the offseason. There's going to be plenty more questions, and we still have a ton of text to get to. You can drop your text in your voicemails, trade hypotheticals, anything you're thinking of at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to our sponsors in rockauto.com and BuiltGo for sponsoring today's show. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com